talk on sponsorship for approximately 40 to 50 minutes, and then we'll take a 10-minute break, which time we'll open the coffee back up. And then after the break, we will spend 30, 40 minutes or so on question and answers. During the question and answer period, if you do have a question, please raise your hand and make your question brief and to the point. It's not an opportunity to share. It's an opportunity to ask a question. Okay, with that, please join me in welcoming our speaker today, Sharon B. from Los Angeles.
Thank you. Good morning. Sharon Barker, alcoholic. I'm going to show you something you guys haven't seen in a while. Sunglasses. So I didn't lie. I saw it on the horizon. It's happening. So maybe y'all can get them out today. But sunglass kind of day. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to grow as a workshop is. I always learn something. You know, we learn from each other here, and I'm in the mix of it all. So I'm not an authority. I just share my experience, strength, and hope, and that's all I know. I don't give theories and generalities, and that's what I don't do in that in sponsorship. And I think that's one of the reasons why sponsorship, my line given to me and given away is not watered down, which is something I'm passionate about, Alcoholics Anonymous. In case my son's a great kid, he doesn't seem to have the problem of active alcoholism, he doesn't seem to be hugely insecure or have any a lot of the not fitting in kind of feelings, he seemed to grow out of those. But his children may. I mean, I say you might get stuck with somebody just like me. So, because he always likes to pick on me in my life. Because he's, as far as he's said, he's never even tried pot. So, I know. No tattoos. No piercings. I look at him and go, "Where'd you come? You'd be at alcoholic parents." But if his kids need Alcoholics Anonymous, I would hope that they would be able to walk into a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and hear Chapter 5, hear the tradition, see people paying attention, have one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. I feel it's very strong here in this group in sponsorship, and I think strong groups have strong sponsorship. I've seen that. That's what my eyes have seen. And I know that it doesn't really use the word sponsorship in the big book, but a little history, and I'm not, I just don't remember names, but I do remember when I heard this tape on the history of, some history of Alcoholics Anonymous, actually my sponsor does this, and sponsorship was kind of started in Ohio when they would go grab people off the bar stools initially because nobody was getting sober, so they had to go find some. Where do you find alcoholics? And some would sober up and some wouldn't sober up, and, they had a little lot of years of just very few people sitting in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. I mean, we're so lucky that, in Portland area, you can look at the directory and just go down the street. It's like if you don't like this meeting, go to another meeting. And, I think of Matt Talbot, the old alcoholic that they're trying to make a saint now. And, he was an old Irish, he wanted to be a brother in the Jesuits, but he couldn't because he was a drunk. And he feel the craving coming on, and he didn't get to walk down the street to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. He asked his brothers to chain him to a tree so he wouldn't drink. And I think about how good are we chained to it? I mean, who wants a tree be chained to a tree in the Irish weather, like you guys have up here, lashing at him as he's, salivating just because he's got to have the drink, but he's chained to the tree. And how good would we be at that? I mean, we live in a time and space where Alcoholics Anonymous is blessedly everywhere. And you get, you get what you want, really. And if not, you make it. You make it. And so I truly believe that we are the lucky ones living in this time and frame of Alcoholics Anonymous where it's everywhere. And I have real strong feelings about sponsorship because I've always been sponsored and I sponsor. And I woke up this morning and read one of my favorite pages, which always, now if you're new, this is why they put it in Chapter 11 back here. So when you get here, it doesn't scare you so much. But when I read this, it was like, it's in a vision for you. The less people tolerated us, The more we withdrew from society, from life itself, as we became subjects of King Alcohol, shivering denizens of his mad realm, the chilling vapor that is loneliness settled down. It thickened, ever becoming blacker. Oof. Some of us sought out sordid places, hoping to find understanding, companionship, and approval. Momentarily, we did. Then would come oblivion and the awful awakening to face the hideous four horsemen, terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair. Unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. I remember the first time I read that, it was like, oh, you know, I felt it to my bone, that chilling vapor of loneliness, that waking up in the wherever you were, stuck to something and going, where am I and who is this? And I was so alone. I was so alone. And those were my, you know, guilt and I was so bewildered with my life. But alcohol had me. King Alcohol had me. And, you know, blessedly I got to come to Alcoholics Anonymous and land in a group that had strong sponsorship. I just landed in a group that had been formed on strong sponsorship. And but the guy in Ohio that realized that people need a little, they need a little companionship, they need a little, you know, guidance as after they just kind of pulled him off the bar stool and got him through the jitters and got him sober, that a lot of them were going back out, and this guy in Ohio realized that maybe they need something else. And that's kind of how sponsorship started, was as people got sober and a few started to actually stay sober, and then they realized that, well, maybe we should kind of lead them down the path here and not just get them sober and then go get more alcoholics and get them sober and go get more alcoholics. So it kind of took another level, and it started in Ohio. And I can't think of the guy's name, and somebody will probably tell me because that's what you're for. And but that's how it started, was that they realized these people weren't sticking around because there was no guidance after that. They were so into the 12-step finding the alcoholic work that they weren't sharing what they had found with the new ones that were hanging in there, you know, hanging in there. So I looked up the word sponsorship because I like to do things like that. And it said, it's a person who supports an activity. It said a supporter, a patron, an angel. You know, so. Okay. In three words, it went from supporter to angel, so I don't know what that means. But, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, I think that I became much more effective as a sponsor. I did start sponsoring right away. I was sponsored, let's just say, after I was in my first year, people started asking me to sponsor them. And I'm still known as a tough sponsor. I don't know why, but it's just that, you know, I firmly believe that there's certain things I need to do to stay sober. So that's what I know in my experience. That's what I'm going to teach you. I'm not going to say, well, I think it's okay for you to not go to that commitment tonight. Yeah, I know you want to sit home and watch the Country Music Awards. So go home and stay home, you know. But I'm going to go to the meeting, you know. It's like, if I'm doing it, you're doing it, you know. And it's the walk like you talk thing. I was with the Jesus Freaks in Laguna, the Pentecostals in Colorado, you know, the Hare Krishnas on my 21st birthday. And they all seemed to have some sort of leadership or sponsorship or bright light or something I needed when, you know, I was out there drinking. I had a hole in my aura or something. I had a brown aura or something. But they would always seem to spot me. And I knew I needed something, and they had that brightness in their eyes. And then we would get to the point of money, signing something forever, or they put that word eternity into something. It's like, whoa, no, not eternity. And a day at a time, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I was like, okay, a day at a time, forever? I kept waiting for them to add something to that, and they didn't do that. And it's for fun and for free, the sponsorship thing. And I you know, I kind of kept waiting for somebody to say, okay, you got to come over and do my dishes every day. Or, you know, you've got to sign a contract and babysit for 2 years or, you know, something. I didn't trust. And that's what started to happen between me and this woman was I began to trust slowly. And I worked on it. You know, I tried to trip her up a bunch of times. And the reason I got my first sponsor was because some guy on my cup washing commitment they gave to me, some guy who was, you know, the dryer I think it to be the dryer, but we had real cuffs at this Echo Park meeting. He said to me with his Texas accent and his tattoo tear and his skinny little fingers, he would get in my face and say, "You better get a sponsor, you're going to get drunk." And I didn't like Texas accents. They made me highly nervous because I just made it through Texas, the border, one time with the ranger telling me, "Keep on driving," as everything that was in my left sock would have, that was life right there in Texas, you know, life. He looked down at my socks, looked at me, and said, "Keep on driving. The border's about 2 miles." I said, "Yes, sir." So Texas made me very nervous. So it was that experience of, so I didn't like this guy, and I didn't like his bony fingers, and I didn't like the way he was talking to me. But I had this broken jaw, so I couldn't talk back. I could just kind of spit at him through the wires, sneer and hiss. That was a good hisser. So I got a sponsor because I could tell Michael to back off, just to back off. I went home, which was somebody's floor with that borrowed sleeping bag, and I spread out these numbers that people had given me. People had given me numbers, I didn't know why, they were clumped up, and I opened one up, and it said this person's name and call anytime. And she was the only one that wrote something other than her name and number. So I thought, oh, she must be nice. God brought me to the right woman. A better manipulator than me, had been down the path that I had been down, and was not afraid to hurt my feelings. Was not afraid to hurt my feelings to tell me what needs to be done. And she would be there. I remember the one night, actually, I did call her and ask her if I could stay home and watch the Country Music Awards. I'm not a country and western fan. I just wanted a night off, you know. I was going to test her. I've got a TV now, my little $24 a week room. I want to stay home from that Thursday night meeting and watch the Country Music Awards. So I called her, and she said, "No, we've got a commitment there. You show up." Oh, I was just mad at her. You know, I don't know about you, but whatever you do to your sponsor, it comes back when you start sponsoring. So I used to like give her the finger on the phone, you know. I used to hold the phone out to hear. Sure. I do that now sometimes. No, I don't. But my sponsor says he puts it on the aha machine. So I said, "Clancy, am I on the aha machine? Take me off." Are you done whining? Yeah, okay. But so I called her and I asked her. She said no. She said no. So I went. I was so upset. And I'm sitting in the front. I'm just mad. I'm mad. And halfway through the main speaker, I told you that she had that crazy duck laugh. I heard this quack, 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 quack laughing at the speaker from the back of the room. She showed up. I don't know if she showed up to see if I was going to show up, but she showed up. I thought she was going to be home with him, and here I am, you know, being of service, I heard that noise from the back of the room, her laughing, and I felt there was something that had come over me I hadn't felt in a long time, and it was feeling of being safe. And I thought, oh, she's in the room. You know, it was just a feeling, and I hadn't felt safe in a long time. I didn't even realize I hadn't felt safe in a long time until that experience allowed me to feel safe. And Janet was great. She was my sponsor for a long time. Janet used to embarrass me to get things done. I thought it was embarrassment. I remember standing outside that same meeting, that Thursday night meeting, for some reason was kind of influential in my changing. It seemed like that Thursday meeting was always, I was more vulnerable after a big Wednesday meeting. I was more vulnerable on Thursday. And I was standing out front with my then going to be fiancé, who had 6 months more than me and had worked through the steps, and he was real spiritual, and he had 6 months more than me, you know. So when you're like 6-7 months sober, 9 months sober, it's like, wow, he reached a year, he did his inventory, he let me read it, you know. It was like, he did, and I'm so sick, I married him. He didn't read mine, I got a little smarter by the time I was there. The greatest story ever told, right? Anyway, it was we're standing out front talking to newcomers. And, you know, it's like we're newcomers, but we have something to share. We're like, you know, that 9-10 months where you're just starting to get on fire a little bit? That's when you send them out. Boy, just send them out. Yeah. You know, come with me on a 12-step call. You sit back and they just go. It's great, you know, because they're not going to believe me with my 10, 15 years. They're going to believe the guy that's got, you know, nine months. So I'm proselytizing and talking about, you know, God, and the sponsor just, she always just had a knack. You know, she had a BS detector or something, you know, and she just kind of walked up to me and she put her hands on her hip, and she probably had hot pants on and like springulators and these big nails, and it's like, oh, that's my sponsor, you know. But I could always find her in the room. So she stuck her finger in my face, and she said, you better get your own God or you're going to get drunk. You know, I was like joined at the hip with this guy. And I just thought, I didn't say it, but I thought, Janet, I'm working with newcomers here. Can you just, like, you know, give me a little support? So I said, fine. Beacons is my new higher power. Because there was a Beacons moving van parked across the street. And she just kind of stood there like, yeah, you know, like she didn't go, no, not Beacons, you got to get a better higher power. You know, I said, Beacons is my higher power, because I was like one of those old bureaus that got, you know, trucked around from place to place and moved and in the middle of the night, and there's a, you know, the knob is off and it's scratched on the top and it's a little crooked, but God wrapped me in those Beacons blankets, you know, those quilty things, and brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah, I'm a little damaged, but I'm here, and Beacons, that's my... You know, and she's just looking at me, and the newcomers all go, yeah, I get it. Yeah, Beacons, wrapped in the quilts. She said, good, as long as it's not you. Oh, walked on, clip-clopped on by, you know. And I think if I could have thrown her a poison dart at that moment, I might have. But, you know, I prayed to Beacons for a long time just to make her mad. But the point is I was praying to something. The point is even today I get calls from all over the country. I saw Beacon's truck. How are you? And I remember one night I was speaking somewhere and I had no gas. It was the gas shortage. Oh, let's call the people in Pacific Group because they'll always show up. You know, one way or another, we'll have a gas can and make it work. And I was driving back from somewhere and I was almost out of gas and I'm thinking I'm not going to make it home. And I was lost. I didn't know there was a two freeway. I'm on a two freeway. There's no cell phones at this time. And I pull off the freeway trying to look for a gas station, and my light shone on where all the Beacons trucks go to bed at night. There were like hundreds of Beacons trucks in this yard. It was like, oh, I'm going to be okay. Oh, I'm going to be okay. So she moved me along, you know. She didn't move me along enough. Let's pick your higher power out. It was all my experience. My sponsors have always kind of, you know, moved me along with their truth, with their timing. It's something about their timing is just impeccable. I just recently, last week, talked to my sponsor, and he said, he admitted he grinds me. Yeah, I grind you. I want to see how you're doing. It's like, excuse me, I'm going to turn on my tape recorder for that. Let me get this on tape, Clancy. Yes, I grind you. Okay, good. You know, I thought, what? You know, he said something to me in front of some people, and I went, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about it, and I don't ever do that. I don't ever do that. But I thought, well, I'm going to talk to him about this. I'm not too sober too long to not talk to my sponsor about something I don't understand. And, yeah, I got his attention, bless you. And he said, yeah, I grind you. I want to see how you're doing. And, you know, but then when I saw him Wednesday night, it was, oh, sweetheart, and this and that. So it's like, okay, he got it, you know. Don't let him ever listen to this tape, but he won't anyway, so... But anyway, I mean, my sponsor can still grind me. My sponsor can still may wake me up in the middle of the night because I still, for a little bit of me, I want his approval. I've always wanted the approval of my sponsor because, you know, I admire my sponsor. I admire who is leading me down the path. I told you last night about that guy, Chuck, who invited me to Alcoholics Anonymous. It was Chuck Nesbitt. He was a very wonderful, dapper gentleman who slowly died of cancer but stayed. He always wore his nice tweed jackets, and he always looked great, and he was always at a meeting, and he had a smile on even if he just came from chemotherapy. And he was a great guy. And he worked with the newcomers. He looked at the newcomers. He always paid attention to the newcomers. You know, he had 10 more years of sobriety than me, and he was a great guy. And he saw me one night writing down in a little book over by the side wall that somebody, I don't know, somebody had given me $5 or somebody had given me a ride, or I still have my broken jaw, and, you know, it's, I'm writing down, I have this little notebook, I'm keeping score. I'm a scorekeeper. And he took the time to see what this wacky wired jaw mope was doing by the wall. And he came over and he looked at it and he said, "What are you doing?" And, you know, tried to spit something out. And he got it right away. He didn't even miss a beat. He said, "Sharon, put this away. One day you're going to have a car, a driver's license, registration, insurance, all in the same name." How does he know that, first of all? How does he know that? Because he'd been there. "You're going to have a closet full of clothes, and you can clean them and bring them to someone who's starting a new job." Because people had given me, like, bags of some clothes, and that was written down. "And you're going to have an extra 20 you can slip into that girl's purse when she goes to the bathroom because you know she needs it. Pass it on. That's the way we want to be paid back. Pass it on. Just pass it on. When you have it, you will have it. It'll happen. You pass it on." And the man gave me back a lot of my dignity that night. And he also believed in me that I would stay and be able to pass it on. That was the pat on the back that Dr. Bob talked about in his last speech. The man gave me a pat on the back. You know, that rejuvenated me. You know, I put that little book away, and I've been able to pass it on. And it's been a great thing. I've been able to... It's like being sponsored. I've been able to accept, and I've been able to give. And it doesn't always go this way. It comes back this way, too. You know, life is a learning experience. You have to have your own experience with Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's what my sponsors have done for me, each one. I've only had one. I had my first one for 5 years, my second one for almost 5 years, and then last one for 20 years. And, you know, circumstances changed each one. My second sponsor... was a woman that, and my first sponsor, I tried to find her every birthday, and she's just not around. She stopped doing what she was doing. I saw resentments build up in her life, and she left, and she started taking pills, and then she started doing therapy, and then she ended up locked up. And she had finished college and done some really great stuff with her life, and I can't ever get her to call me back or find her on my birthdays when I try to find her. And you know, it breaks my heart because she gave me so much. And my second sponsor, I had her for 5 years, and then she smoked pot. And I was about, you know, 9 years sober when that happened. My son was born when I was 8, so he was a year old when I went to pick her up at the airport. She had gone to Paris to work on a play and be in a play, and she had started smoking pot. And some of the meetings in Paris, they said, "You're still sober. Don't worry about it. You can take your 20-year cake. You can take your 21-year cake." But she knew better. You know, she knew better. And one of the priests from our area went over there, and she sat and had breakfast with him and told on herself. So she came back. She turned herself in. I picked her up at the airport. I didn't know she had 21 days, not 21 years. And I'm standing there next to a girl I just saw last week. Hadn't seen her in a long time, one of her other babies from another area, and she said, "You know, Ginny's got 21 days. No. She's got 21 years. No, she's got 21 days. Okay. You know, I had my new little baby in the stroller so she could meet him. She'd been gone for about a year. I had flowers for her. I was ready to, you know, we had been writing. I had been calling her sponsor, which was Clancy, that whole year, so that I had someone that I was calling and seeing me on a regular basis. And, you know, it was just very much a check-in call. It was very much, I wrote Ginny the letters of what was really going on, and she wrote me back. This was before internet. So she stayed my sponsor, even, and she'd been smoking pot that whole time, but it didn't hurt me. I mean, it didn't hurt me at all. I didn't know, and her advice that she had given me through that time, actually she was smoking pot before she left. She kind of fessed up recently. So a lot of the direction and what she had been giving me was while she was smoking pot. But, you know, she gave me what worked in Alcoholics Anonymous for her. It's just she was unable to be honest. And she came back, and she's got 10 years now. So that's, you know, it took her 10, 11 years to get 10 years again. So it was rough watching that. And I knew immediately that day at the airport that I had to go get a sponsor. I knew immediately. And it broke my heart because I love this woman. She helped me. She helped me become a woman. I didn't even really, a lot of that had been left back behind. She helped me soften up my edges. She helped me learn to be a wife. She helped me with a lot of things that I'm very independent, extremely independent. and to a fault some of the time. And so I'm glad I have a mobile God, because God can come with me and wherever I go. But Jenny taught me some of that softness that I needed, and how to be in a relationship and how to have relationships. And that's a lot what sponsorship is about anyway. It's building trust in relationships. And we work the traditions very much in our relationships, which I think is great. It's great guidelines for that. But I went right to Clancy's door, that 1212 Lake Street, and I like your address here. And I rolled my son in his little Aprica stroller, and, you know, I don't know if you like me much. I don't know if I like you much. I think it was kind of came out of my mouth so unexpectedly. But I need a sponsor, and Ginny, he said, yeah, I know. He knew about her. And he said, come in and sit down, and we'll try. You know, we talked for a while, and we've been trying ever since, so 20-some years. But I knew that day I better go get a sponsor. I knew that day, because I could have – I'm a victim. You heard my story last night. I love being victim, because it's not my fault. Not my fault. And at 7 years of sobriety, something happened to me, and I hung up that victim cloak. And every time I try to wear it now, it feels scratchy and wool and heavy and full of rocks in the pocket and – you know, but it still hangs in the back of my closet to peek at every once in a while, you know, mentally. And so I went right to my sponsor, my new sponsor, and that's, thank God. Thank God that's the kind of training I have. You have to have a sponsor. That was, I didn't even question it. From that guy with the tattooed chair and the long fingers who died drunk, dead, gone. You know, Michael goaded me into getting a sponsor. And I can't imagine my life without a sponsor. And I can't imagine my life without sponsoring somebody. I love what it says in working with others. It says right before the wonderful stuff, it says, remember they are very ill. You know, it talks about, you know, carrying the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. But I get a lot of my guidelines from this chapter. And it goes through my head every time. Sometimes somebody's having a hard time. Remember they're very ill. It's about we're sick people trying to get better. We're not bad people trying to get good, you know, because if I'm going to get too good, the next, you know, I'm going to find a rose and jump on a table and dance, you know, because I, you know, I'm just not that good, you know. But I live a comfortable life today, and, you know, I was very sick when I came here, and I'm getting well every day. So it says, remember they are very ill, which I just love. It says, life will take on new meaning, to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. So it's, then it says that, you know, the newcomer is the bright spot of our life. So I know there's a few new people in here today. So, you know, it's like maybe you're not so bright, but you're the bright spot in our life. Because, you know, we need to see Alcoholics Anonymous keep going here. I don't want to keep listening to the same people over and over and over again. You know, we need that. It's you know, I've heard it said, it's like, you know, the Dead Sea is dying because there's no inlet or outlet, you know. That's why, you know, a freshwater lake has got it in, it's got it out. You know, we need to keep it moving through here. And we not, and I don't need to water it down. I can't water it down. I think if I told someone, yeah, that's okay to do that, I would feel horrible if something would happen to them, because I'm not sharing my experience, I'm sharing my theory. I'm sharing a generality. I'm sharing something. I don't really know if that works, to miss your commitment. I don't really, you know, just because you want to. So, you know, I'm so glad, though. I've had, like, you know, I've had people, the best people around me. I mean, I learned how to have a commitment from strong people that had strong sponsorship. Because I remember the night that I was there for my cup washing commitment, Junan dropped me off early. God bless her. This lady dropped me off early. She was sponsored by Clancy. She used to drag me around to lots of meetings. And she, God bless her, she just never could get it. You know, I got her Christmas card back a few years ago, stamped deceased. And she just couldn't get it. But her son got it. We went and 12-stepped her son. I was still broken-jawed, and we're like 12-stepping her son. And he's like, you know, he's still sober. It's wonderful. But Janann went out to buy the cookies because she was cookie girl. And because I think it's very important to have commitments that you meet. It gets me there. That way, you know, if I think, oh, God, I'm having the brain tumor, this headache won't stop, and so you call your sponsor at 6 a.m. and you tell them you're having the brain tumor, and they listen for a second, and then you realize, oh, they haven't had their coffee yet. This isn't going to be pretty. And she says, you know, if you die at work, we'll give you a great funeral, but if you die at home in bed, there's no funeral. And she slams the phone down in my ear. that kind of motivation, you know. But Gina went out to buy the cookies and didn't come back. And, you know, it's like, oh, she's going to be in trouble because there's no cookies. And everybody notices if the cookies aren't there, you know. So Clancy's going to get all over her. Boy, I want to watch this, you know. And a black and white pulls up, the LAPD, and this cop gets out and he's talking to the secretary of the meeting. We're all going, okay, what's going on? You know, the meeting's about ready to start, and the secretary's talking to this cop, and then they start walking up the stairs, and we hear him talking. And I guess what happened was Junanne went and bought the cookies with the meeting money, but then she went back to shoplift candy bars because she didn't have any of her own money. So she got caught, and they called the police, and he had to pick her up. But he, you know, she convinced him to stop at the meeting and drop off the cookies. I thought, man, that's commitment, you know? That's who I learned from. I learned from the very, very best, you know? That's the kind of sobriety I'm around, which, you know, I mean, we have a lot of lore and a lot of legend and a lot of fun. And, you know, it's a community. It's a base community. In any community, there's the elders, you know. In any community, there's the ones that are respected for their experience. And they teach the others. In any good community, they teach the young ones, you know, to do what's necessary to have a good life and to not spiritually starve to death, to not go out and die from alcoholism. And to push you through, to give you a pat on the back, to give you motivation, to bust you. I mean, my sponsor knows me so well that very few people in my big meeting, I can shine it up, but he can see in my eyes. You know, he knows me. It's very important for someone to know me because I'm very good at throwing the smoke screen, always have been. And, you know, that I'm very current with my sponsor. And I love this little quote. It says, all God asks you to do to live a spiritual life is to brighten the corner where you live. And it's really, that's very, you can do that in 1,000 ways every day. But, you know, when my phone rings with people I sponsor, I'm really grateful that I'm on this path and that I'm able to link up on the other side because, you know, I started, like I said, very, very early sponsoring people. And one of my earliest ones, she was at her first meeting. I was trying to talk to her. She had vodka stains on her big book and her shoes were untied and she was drunk and falling off the chair. And, you know, I was a couple years sober and I was like, into it. You know, I'm gonna get her. You know, I'm something in there she'll hear in her blackout, you know. And but I tried to tie her shoe, and I remember she kicked me. And so I thought, you know, someone else can take care of you. You know, it's like a little bit out there in the mainstream, and my feelings are hurt, so I'm going to leave. You know, but she called me a couple of days and asked me to sponsor her, and I just thought, oh, no, not you. That's what I thought, but I didn't say that. And I picked her up. I mean, this was like my first real kind of baby. I picked her up, and we went to a lot of meetings together, and we started working the steps together. And I had gone through my amends. I was, you know, I was trying to do a little 10 and 11 every day, and I was now working on 12. But I hadn't had really that spiritual awakening. You have to sit around and wait, do I have a spiritual awakening? Do I sponsor? No, I just say yes to an AA request. You know, that came later. A lot of that came later. It's progress, not perfection. If we had to be perfect to sponsor, oh my God, none of us would have any. I like to see the imperfections in my sponsor. I like to see what he does with it. I like to watch things happen and you know, the program overpower the personalities because the basic principles are what are so strong. And that, I think, that's what I've been able to induce in passing along any sort of my knowledge is the principles that I have learned here. And, you know, so Beth and I went to meetings. And, you know, one day on the phone I hear this crunching. And I say, are you eating? She says, yes, I'm eating an apple. And I remember when I used to eat carrots on the phone against my sponsors, you know, her direction, I'm like being a little passive aggressive, eating carrots on the phone, crunching on carrots. And I knew what she was doing because I had done it. You know, it's like with my son. He'll lie to me and I'll go, that's a lie. He says, how do you always know? I said, because I'm the master manipulator and don't you forget it. I am better, faster, got up earlier than you, and you can never pull him by me. That's why it always makes me laugh when they go, how do you know? It's been there. Been there. And it's good every once in a while to bring out those newcomer pictures when you were new to show the people you sponsor so they remember, oh, you were new once too. Yeah. Sometimes they need a visual. And they love to sit around and listen to the old timers tell stories on you. Love that. That's like always a little more humility. That's okay. I can take it. It's good for my growth. So Beth was eating an apple, and I knew what she was doing. And later on, maybe 10 years later, I got her to admit it. But, it didn't make me get mad at her, and it didn't make me hang up the phone on her. It really made me love her more. And she had some goals. One of the things I do when I sponsor people, other than, we start with step one, we go through the book, we go through the steps, we do that, is I have them make a list of their goals. And because it's good. It's good to put it down on paper. It's good to look at it. It's, it could be any kind of goals, physical, mental, spiritual. And one of her goals was to run a marathon. And she was very out of shape and a smoker and all of that. But she started to train. Like everything in life, if you want a goal, it's a baby step. It's a step. And so she had turned one, and she found this marathon she wanted to run way out in Upland. I thought, God, can't you pick something local? Do I have to get up at, 6 a.m. and drive it Upland with you, for God's sake? But I didn't say that because, I'm a supportive, wonderful sponsor. So anyway, we went out there, and it was a marathon, so we cheered her off and, got her little, I don't know if it was here, I think it was one of those numbers that was around her, like queen for a day, and off she goes with everybody. And so, we hung out and came back, and people are starting to finish up, and it's like, okay, almost everybody's in. Where is she? And so we're starting to worry because actually it's, getting dark, and all of a sudden, way down there, we see her kind of, and she's little. She's like 5 feet tall. I said, I think that's her coming out of the dusk, I said, yeah, that's Beth, And she gets about, halfway up here, and she's like got the biggest smile on her face, and this light is on in her eyes. She's probably manic from all of that running. But I looked down at her shoes, and her shoes were double-tied. They were tied and double-tied. And I thought, she's learned something in a year, She's learned how to tie and double tie those shoes. And that was an experience that, I didn't want to miss. I think the responsibility of being a sponsor is, it's a huge part of my whole approach to Alcoholics Anonymous. If it was taken away, I'd still be coming to meetings and looking for people to adopt, Sometimes my girls say, oh, I can't find anybody. They always have sponsors when they walk in. I say, go get a panel, Go get a panel and adopt a newcomer. Don't let them know you're adopting them because they already have a sponsor, but just adopt them. You pick them up. You get to know them. You take them to meetings. Adopt a newcomer. And so there's always something to do. I would miss it terribly if I wasn't sponsoring people. But I take it also very seriously because I'm not in name only. I'm not sponsored in name only. There's some things that to me are required for the basic tools of Alcoholics Anonymous to be able to work. And one is staying sober, if you're not done, you break my heart, but you're not done. I've buried two this last 5 years. And one of them got, away from the spiritual part and more into the physical part. And I live in Southern California where everybody does plastic surgery, which is like, ugh. But, she got started getting that route and wouldn't quit. Got some money that was left to her and wouldn't quit and got a little hooked on those pills. And she was so much in love with how she looked. And when they found her dead in a bathtub 3 days later, they had a Jane Doe because she didn't match her driver's license. So she didn't go out looking the beauty that she was. And when we saw her a couple of weeks before that and hadn't seen her for a while, I was so proud. Like, 8 of my girls were around her trying to help her. It was so great to see that happen, because if you're not going to hear from me, you might hear from somebody else. I don't really care. I just want you to be okay because it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about those 10 people that love you that you get to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe very, very strongly in that link in the chain. My job is to worry about my link. You know, you want to hook up, great. My job is to keep my fire bright. You need a log, you come take a log. You know, get your fire going. Start your own dance around it over there. You know, it's about freedom. I was such a freedom person in the 60s. It was freedom, 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 you know, and I didn't know a thing about freedom. And I've been so free from the ghosts of my past. It's just, it's an amazing thing. And the ghosts of my present. You know, I'm still an alcoholic. I still have a head that wakes up scared of the four horsemen. You know, I'm glad I wake up scared of the four horsemen. You know, I don't want to hear them galloping through my brain. I just don't. And if I have to show up and go the extra mile, I'll show up and go. I'm a real alcoholic. I'm a hard drinker. I'm a more drinker, and I have to be a more sobriety girl. It's just the way it is with me. And, you know, a lot of people, as I said, I don't sponsor in name only. A lot of people know what I do, and if they want what I got, you know, let's go. You know, because I believe very strongly in telling the truth. And truth to me is my experience. That's truth. And, you know, I found a couple of other little things I like. Action is the key word it talks about in step 12, you know. And it talks about it in the, you know, the sponsor, person who supports an activity. You know, it's like I support coming to meetings. I support working the steps. You know, the spiritual awakening and the discovery of yourself is your experience. I'm not going to have it for you. I am not going to be one that has your experience for you. And I'm gonna make you mad, and I'm gonna, you know, tell you the truth, and that's not very popular sometimes, and that's okay, you know, that's all right. But that's what I know, you know. I know behind it is love, 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 love. Behind it all is love, and behind all of that is the freedom I get from being in a strong group of Alcoholics Anonymous, being sponsored and sponsoring. But, you know, in order to keep it, you have to give it away. So however you give it away. Not everybody's going to be, you know, sponsor 10, 11, whatever, 20 people. Not everybody's going to, there's going to be better coffee makers. There's going to be, you know, people that that are really great at setting up the chairs. You know, I love to go in a meeting where they're all in order, and they're not even a quarter of an inch off, you know. It's like, you know, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's what they do. They're good chair setter-uppers. But I also have to be willing to let go. I have to be willing to loosen my grip, and that's something that being a loyal Leo I had to learn, because I'm, you know, I'm a hang-on. I told you how I am. I don't let go if I think it's mine or I think I have. It's something I have to have. And in the morning, that's one of the exercises I do is I open my hands. I just open my hands and you know, just it's arthritic exercise, I guess. I don't know, but I just, you know, I do an open hand thing in the morning when I hit my knees, and it's a good thing. You know, it places me in a position to be able to accept and to be able to let it flow through me, because it's not about me. It's really not. Wish it was, but it's not. So, you know, that you know, you're the bright spot of our lives. We're glad, you know, we're glad you're here. And you know, to be helpful is our only aim. It talks about that also, because that's. I also know I've had girls come to me that have had some of the lines crossed in what is considered sponsorship, and that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart that Alcoholics Anonymous is used as a predatory place sometimes. But, you know, I can only deal with that if it's up in front of me, and I have. You know, I've not been somebody to put my head in the sand, and that's okay, too. So I've had to grow up. I've really, sponsorship has helped me to grow up. I sponsor people that aren't in my home group that live in other parts of the world, and I've had the privilege of traveling, and we have ways of checking in, and we have ways I have certain things that you must do, and one of them's sitting in the room here, and she makes me proud because that's what she does. She does what I do, you know, and I know that because she's here today, and I know that because, you know, I know her babies, and I can see what's happening in their lives, and I know what she does with her life, and I tell you, it's never more a beautiful thing than at the end of my check-in letters or emails that I get from the girls that don't live right here is it's always, you know, thanking me for walking ahead of them. And, you know, every time I see that, every time I see thank you for what you do, I think thank you, God. I'm in the bar alone. I hate all of you. I don't need anybody. I got my Be Here Now book in here, and that's all I need. You know, I don't need you at all. And that the people that when my father was killed that showed up at my mother's house in Iowa before I even got home, some I knew and some I didn't know. We help each other there. We help each other through the, you know, the big things in life. You know, the marriages, the divorces. I mean, I've had babies that were good in money come with me to the IRS. You know, it's, you know, I've had to go fess up and pay up. And I sponsored this one girl that was, you know, a CPA. So, okay, good, come with me. I love sponsoring a couple lawyers. It just kind of, you know. And I love sponsoring that nun, and I sponsor an ex-nun. And, you know, so we all have our stories. And we come together once a month. My girls come together once a month, and we have a meeting based on something that's conference approved. And we do share with each other. We break bread together. And my sponsor said, as long as it's not more than once a month, it's not a privileged private meeting. It's just with the girls I sponsor. So we can be effective, more effective in the world, and get to support each other and have the community stronger. That exclusivity, I'm not about that. If someone's visiting in town, they can come. You know, it's not like, oh, it's no, you can't. Go sit in your hotel room, you know, that somebody else sponsors. You know, I'm not about exclusivity. That spiritual smugness that goes on really bugs me. Really, really bugs me. If you've got the lock and key and you're not sharing it, see ya. You know, because that's the kind of person I am. I have to see it. I have to see my sponsor. My sponsor is more active than me. I am busy, and he is more busy. I hope your sponsor is somebody that you're trying to keep up with. You know, I recently was climbing a mountain in Montana a couple years ago. It feels like a couple weeks ago. Thighs still hurt. Anyway, all the young ones behind me were slow down. It was like, come on, guys. You know, it's like the spiritual energy that is available in the room to bring the joy into, you know, the body, mind, and spirit when it's rightly placed, which is of service and about love, is endless. And I know somebody will help me. There's some place in the book that talks about that you get energy from this. You don't, you know, that somewhere in there it talks about when it might even be in working with others that when you put your energy in a right mode to be of service, then you get more energy. It doesn't wear you out. And that happens to me when I get out of the way. It's just so great because, you know, better than any high I ever had. And you know, I got to go back to the Capitol and share at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting that's put on for members of Congress once a year. And it's a linen thing, and it's a brunch, and it's like sit down, and it's a big deal, you know, and stand behind a podium that says United States Congress. And I was representing Alcoholics Anonymous there. And I thought, you know, I got drunk there years ago. I protested there, put soap in the fountains, you know, for one of the moratoriums, got my button and hitchhiked home, you know. And now I'm sitting there. My son was in the room, and a line of sponsorship from the D.C. area that I sponsor was sitting in the room. And it was just like, and of course my sponsor had done that breakfast. So, you know, I felt that day very, very complete, very complete. And I'm not a person that feels that completeness. It's fleeting, you know. So I have to work very hard at it. So Grandma told me last night that on page 77 it says, our real purpose, not just our purpose, but our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. So I hope that you stay fit. I hope that you wake up in the morning and you ask God what you can do today to his kids. My first sponsor had me tape that just for today up on my mirror. And she said, you have to do something on that, something nice for somebody every day without getting found out. When I was, you know, 6 months sober, I started to do that. And then she would say, what'd you do today? And I'd tell her, you know, she'd trip me up. And she'd say, now you got to go do something else. And I was like, oh. See, she had me make muscles. I mean, that she had me make muscles. I didn't know I had muscles. I didn't know I could go on a 12-step call. There was, you know, the greatest thing she did was we went down to central office and put my name on that list. And then when I got married, I'm a B. So, you know, they went through the Rolodex. It's before computers. So they got to me, answered the phone. You know, here I go. CD Motel by the airport? Yeah, let's go. I mean, I just loved it. She taught me how to do that. I went and sat with her. She had me talk to people. You know, bring them to a meeting. They're drunk and disrupting, and you'd have to shush them up. And Clint has to take them out of the room, and you have to watch how this is done. I mean, you know, and then they go home, and you take them back to the room, and he's passed out there, and you know they wake up with all the literature going, what the hell happened, you know? And I'm feeling great. I'm feeling great the next day, and then I'm wondering why she doesn't call me. But, you know, so if you're 6 months more or sober, I don't know what your requirements are here, you know, get on that 12-step list. Get, you know, come answer the phones at central office. Get trained. Get a panel. You know, get to the meeting early. She also had me get to the meeting early and shake the hands of three people I didn't know. And I would always pick the older people who were sitting down more, because they weren't up jumping around. And I always kind of got a little claustrophobic in crowds. I still kind of have some anxiety, but I'm so much better about it. I learned how to do some mindful breathing. Breathe. Okay. Right. That works. Breathing. And so, you know, she had me... Oh, God. Where was I going with that? The older people, and I met some wonderful women that didn't have the energy to go running around the room, and wonderful women that just enriched my life that I would have normally not taken the time to meet, that supported me and enriched my life and you know, made me feel comfortable and safe in the room. So, you know, those kind of things, those kind of tools, I had no idea how to live. Those kind of tools, I could go out in the world, shake hands at a business meeting, remember their name, ask them how they are, and they'd love to talk about themselves. And then if you leave the conversation by thanking them by name, they think you're terrific. It doesn't matter what transpired. They just know that you shook their hand, you looked them in the eye, and you remembered their name. And that's, like, successful for business, very successful for business. Little did I know that my sponsor, by pushing me through the amends and having that sense of innocence come back, having that part of me in Alcoholics Anonymous that I felt so much a little girl about, but you could dress me up and put me out in the world, and I could stand that amends with my dad. That healing allowed me to stand up straight and tall in the world with men. Things changed with men after I did that amends with my father, after that healed up with my father. I work around men, a lot of men. I'm sometimes the only woman in the room in the conference room with these men. And I feel like I'm just a human amongst humans. You know, I don't have to play my little games, none of it. I feel effective. I'm effective because I've been taught, and I keep it fresh by giving it away. So I'm just going to end with what I absolutely love after I read that vision for you, the Four Horsemen, that scares me. I love to read, there is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of shortcomings, which the process requires for a successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we had come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we had been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problems had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we've been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. So that, you know, I'm a sponsor, I'm not an angel, but I feel very close to heaven when I am in working the steps with somebody, or you see them walk in the room after they got back from that amends trip, and they look different, they look lighter, the rocks are out of the pocket. There's nothing more joy in watching somebody live a good life that you've just had just a little bit to do with. Just a little positive influence to do it. And that shores me up for what I believe in. It brings me closer to my God. So thank you very much.
Okay, we're now going to open it up for question and answers. If you do have a question, raise your hand, and Sharon will call on you. Again, this is not an opportunity to share your experience. It's an opportunity to ask a question. With that, Sharon.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, boy, shot right up over here.
I have two questions.
What's your name? Hi, Sheila.
I have a couple questions about sponsorship. One, I'd like to know, I know that you're not an expert, but your experience about same-sex or opposite-sex, and if the sponsor, has what you want. Like, for example, I want to, get married and have kids. So would it behoove me to have a sponsor who is married and have kids, or does it matter, or...
Okay, Sheila's got a lot crammed in there, and a 10-second question. A real alcoholic there. Okay. Wants to know about the male-female ratio of sponsor to sponsorship, sponsor to sponsee, or babies. We still call them babies because, babies need a lot of attention, but for a little while. And you know what they do anyway. cry and make messes. Anyway... that, and then the second part of her question was about wanting what your sponsor has. So does it, specific of, I want to be a lawyer, so do I go get a lawyer as my sponsor? I want, a family. Do I have a family person as my sponsor? I've seen a lot of things work, and I've seen a lot of things not work. So to me, it's about willingness is the key, first of all. Sometimes interim sponsorship works for people, and that it gives them an out if it doesn't work right away, so that they can. But I don't go into the sponsor shopping thing. It's like, okay, we're just gonna. And sometimes I need to think, maybe let's try this for 30 days. So every case seems to be a little different, but the basic tenets of sponsorship are somebody who's louder than my head, and that could be, and somebody who's more active than me. So when I look around my group, there's very few women that are more active than me, and that's just because that's how I'm built. And so it seemed to have worked. Now, Ginny would have been my sponsor forever, I think, if she hadn't smoked pot, and she really is kind of a different person again. After going out after 20-some years and coming back, it shaves off something that she's on a little bit of a different path than me. Doesn't mean that she's not back and happy. It's just that she wasn't. If she would have continued on, I would have been with her, really. And so I didn't make any male-female decisions at that time. I just knew to save my own life, I needed somebody louder than my head. My husband had left. My sponsor had smoked pot. He was dating a newcomer. I was insane. And so that's where I ended up. I didn't think, I threw that little predatory comment in because I've seen things happen with, a power trip with sponsorship and lines be crossed. And, I've heard a lot of inventories, and I've seen some of that, too. So, anything can happen. This is life in here. We're like, this is a community. There's life in here. People would say to me, how does he get away with cheating on his wife? I don't get it. And I say, it's good you don't get it, because you could be able to do it if you get it. Just hello and keep on walking, Doesn't mean you have to, how do you do that? It's like, I'll take notes, It's So people are going to disappoint you. People are going to do things that are, we're alcoholics, for God's sake. It's my Casey says, honey, we're the creme de la scum, It's like, but I think the trust and the safety of sponsorship is extremely important, extremely important. So that somebody, sponsor some women that are gay, and they sponsor heterosexuals that have children. They work great programs. And to me, it's not like, okay, let me go find the perfect sponsor and sponsor shop. It's not going to happen. Somebody who's a little louder than your head, somebody who's available, somebody who's, to me, has what I want in Alcoholics Anonymous, which is a light in their eyes and a lilt in their step. And my sponsor, after 48 years, still loves Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know what it's like to do time. And I don't want to sit in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, be bored, and do time. I want to live here. I want the excitement here. And that's what I look for. Those are the people I like to hang around with, not the ones that are sitting around looking at the glimmer of their own candle. I want the people that are, you know, which is small. You know, light a candle and see how small the light is, you know. I want people who are out there in the sunlight of the Spirit. So, hope that helped. Thanks. All right. Since you led, I'll call on you.
My name's Chris. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
Stand up, please.
Don't you love it? It comes back, doesn't it?
My question is, you had mentioned things that your sponsees are required to do. You had mentioned that. What are some of the things that you require from your sponsees in order to sponsor them? And also, what are some of the things that, if they are doing, you will not sponsor them?
Interesting. Okay. Chris asked a loaded question, too. You guys get a lot in 10 seconds here. What are some of my requirements of people I sponsor, and what are some of the things that I won't sponsor people if they're not doing? Well, if they can't stay sober, I'll be there, but I can't be a sponsor, you know, and I'm not going to put a blanket between them and the pavement. And I think people have to hit their bottom, and I'm not going to carry them out the door and walk in with them into, I've been there, you know, I need to stay in the rooms of, you know, my sponsor would say better them than you, Sharon, when they go out, you know, and it breaks, and they do break your heart, and I kind of understand, he's had his heart broken a lot in 48 years, but some of, and then the other things I won't do too is, if people, there's a big trend in watering down Alcoholics Anonymous, and there's a whole bunch of ways that can happen, and I just know that much of it is not in my experience. So if you want that kind of life, great, go for it. I'm just not going to be a part of that because it has to be in my experience, at least the realm of my experience, which is fairly broad. You know, it's, we were drinkers. We, you know, got sober. We had a spiritual awakening. We're here. We're trying to pass it on. That's pretty broad. But if I can't get through to somebody because they're way too medicated, I can't. It's like a Teflon shield. It just falls right off. And you know, I'm not a doctor, and I don't really want to learn about all that stuff. But because I, you know, it's, save it for somebody else. I don't have time for it. I'm way too busy dealing with the people that God has blessed me with in my life. And you know, there's also, you gotta know my phone number. I'm not just in your speed dial. You know, it's like, my sponsor said, you know, if you're laying on a gurney because you got hit by a car, I want you to blurt out my phone number so the paramedics can call me. So I want you to call me and know that phone number. And thank God Janet did that, because one day I got a car, a license, insurance, everything all in the same name, registered. It was a Malibu. It was like, it was primer gray. It had no front seat that was broken, so I would low ride to meetings like this. And my sponsor got a broken chair from the meeting, and we put it behind the seat so I'd sit up and drive because she didn't like me low riding. I was waiting tables. I counted out my money. I went to Earl Scheib. I picked out a color on the wall, which was Basin Street Blue. I said, oh, it's a New Orleans color. It'd be great. And I went to pick up my car. I was on a split shift. Went to pick up my car at Earl Scheib, and it was brighter than anything in this room. And, you know, it's 1976, and nobody was driving bright turquoise cars then, especially the Chevelle Malibu or whatever it was. And I said, that's not my car. And they said, yeah, that's your car. I said, that's not my car. And they said, that's your car. I said, let me show you the color I picked out. And so I went in, and I showed them the color, and they said, well, that's faded. So I was so pissed off. I went back to my restaurant, a split shift. Here's the restaurant on one side. There's a hallway with payphones. There's the bar on the other side. I thought, I'm going to go have a drink. I can't handle this. I was in such pain about this. Pain about this. And I called my sponsor because I knew her number by heart. I passed the payphones on the way to the bar, and I stuck in. That's back when it was 20 cents, I think. I stuck in my 20 cents, and I called her and told her. And thank God I knew her number by heart. Even when I was that on my way to relief, I had to have relief. This thing was so big for me that I had to have relief. And I think back, thank God she had me know her number by heart. Thank God she had me call her every day. Thank God that I was able to... I knew I had enough of a connection with her, I could call her and tell her what they did to me. And she had me laughing, and we laughed about it, and we buffed it down. They said, don't wash it for a month. She said, we're going to wash the heck out of it. We got it all kind of toned down, and she had me laughing. And I think back about that journey from the restaurant into the bar, stopping at the payphones to call that sponsor. I think I almost got drunk over a car, color of a car. My perspective was so warped that having continual phone calls with that sponsor, you have to call me. You can't not call me and expect me to be your sponsor. You have to, if you're in my area, I want to see your eyeballs. Home group, that's very important. Commitments are very important. We're not going to stop at 6 and 7. My first sponsor, God bless her, we kind of stopped after my first step for like a while, and I didn't realize I was, like a dog ready to get out of the cage, and so I learned something by keep going, let's keep going. I want them to work with others. I don't care if you're not sponsoring, you work with others. Major decisions. I don't want to talk to everybody over color of car. I don't want to talk to everybody about what you wear. I sponsor people that are sober a long time now. We have a relationship. We have history. It's back to, if you want to drink or you want to get on some pills or you want to do what you want to do, God bless you. I'm going to just kind of shine my light on the next newcomer who's coming in the room and give them a chance. So I require communication, and the people that are outside of the country, now we get emails. We don't do letters, and I'm not a big email nut either, too. So, but I use it for the tool that it is for communication, and we have scheduled phone calls. We have responsibilities. I have to be responsible. They have to be responsible. So we have those responsibilities. Marilyn knows 10 o'clock every Tuesday night that phone rings, and she's on it. Every Tuesday night, like clockwork. Marilyn and the lady from Germany, the German girl, are like right on the money. I can set my clocks by them. And the people I sponsor, even if they don't live by me, have to have a home group and have to sponsor others, have to work with others. But we communicate. If you're not communicating with me, I'm not your sponsor. I mean, you're either on this side of the fence or you're on that side of the fence. That's kind of black and white with me. I'm not in name only. Don't know how to do that. So, and like I said, there's a lot out there in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel sometimes like I put on my AA frontline suit, that there's certain things that I believe that we've got to pay attention to in the rooms, or it's not going to look like AA anymore. I think it's real, real important to not get spiritually lazy. You want to do something else? Well, okay, are you up at the coffee shop till 2 in the morning drinking coffee? Are you eating, tons of bad food and feeling like crap? Let's clean that up, Let's get you to more meetings. Let's start working the steps again. Let's start working with others before we go for the easy, spiritually lazy answer. Because I got to keep those muscles. You let any muscles go weak after a while. They're going to hurt for a while, but eventually you're going to get strong there again. And I've seen people renew their sobriety with 10, 11, 20 years by jumping back into the middle of it. So I firmly believe in faith without works is dead. So there you go, Chris. All right, somebody over here had their hand up there.
My name's Todd.
Hi, Todd.
And I was curious how you viewed sponsorship and anonymity of personal information, and if you've ever witnessed it, to as like character assassination to a degree, or has it negatively affected sponsees or sponsors?
Okay, let me see if I got that right, Todd. People speaking out of school about things that they know about somebody they sponsor.
Personal information,
like a trust thing,
yeah.
Like crossing the line with trust, like maybe telling somebody's piece of their fifth step out there. I take it all real, real seriously. And, yeah, I've seen a lot in 30-some years in AA. And, I've seen people have to make amends after many years of sobriety for doing something like that. And I was witness to something like that once with an old timer, a woman who has a little more time than me. I watched her. I watched her act badly about somebody, and in the same vein, it was almost like she knew what had happened as soon as it was out of her mouth. I watched her walk away, turn around. She balled up her fist because, like, she knew what she had to do, which was immediately clean this up. And she walked in and walked up to the woman. And I was, like, watching this whole thing. It was such a great lesson for me, and she made amends. And the woman wasn't very nice about it. So she had to kind of, like, totally eat crow there. But that woman's not here anymore, and the woman who made the amends is. So, I mean, I got to watch that happen. I got to watch the woman know what she needed to do about it. I got to see the process of the steps work, and she's still in the rooms. So that was a break of somebody's trust that I watched happen. And the woman that didn't forgive her for doing that stood on her ground about it, made a soapbox about it, and she's not here anymore. Because we have to forgive each other. I certainly, if somebody was telling me something from the men's stag, it's like, stop, don't want to know. I know way too much about you guys. You know, I don't want to know anymore. I had personal experience with all that. So, you know, or somebody's, you know, unless somebody says, I need to do that too. I say, you know, I need to run this by my sponsor. I think I need a little extra help with what we're talking about here. Do you mind? I give them the courtesy of that. And so if I've ever had to do that myself personally, I've given them the courtesy of that, to say yes or no. So if I could be more helpful. Like I said, there's a lot of things that go on in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I focus on that or pay attention to that, then, you know, I'm destined to live it if I really want to understand it. You know, we have to be gatekeepers of this beautiful thing called Alcoholics Anonymous. We have to, you know, we have to guard what happens around here. And if I see something going on with somebody I love, I'm gonna tell them. But also, in the same sense of gossip, thank God that's not in my realm, because I'm just too busy for that. If you're gossiping about somebody, you should be out there making coffee. You should be mopping a floor after a meeting. If you're on the internet too long, you know, you need to go to more meetings, you know. It's like, we need to come live it out here. But, you know, if I see that's happening with somebody that I love, I'll get in there. I'll get in there, you know, because I'm very protective. But I also am not, like I said, going to let somebody not have their own experience of learning how to skin your knees and get up and say, okay, because I'm not God. You need to find your own God, you know. So if it's a God thing, and I feel like it's something you need to learn, it's a lesson you need to learn, because, you know, I'm not going to rescue. I'm not a rescue person. I'll rescue animals. I don't rescue people. So I know maybe I'm being a little ambiguous about this, and maybe your question was a little ambiguous. That, you know, maybe if it was something specific. But I've watched people, you know, have, you know, violate their marriage vows. I've watched people, not good parents. Not, I've watched deadbeat dads. I've watched people avoid the IRS. Do I want what they have? Do I want to understand it? No. If I sponsor them, you know, we're going to talk about that. Because, you know what, I'd like to do that too sometimes. But, you know, I know behind all that for me is a drink, because I need to make progress from that stuff. I need to make progress from getting over on people. I need to make progress on that stuff. So I hope I helped you, Todd. If I didn't, you know, I'm sure there's someone here that can, there's a lot of people active here that can help you. Or, you know, you can get specific with me later and let me know if it's something that you don't want to break somebody's trust. So, okay. Is there a woman? Thank you.
Yes.
Another one. Thank you. Sure.
I'm Joy. I'm an alcoholic.
Joy.
Okay. I would like to hear from you about how you deal with sponsees who are presenting as extremely bright and intellectual, and perhaps the book is too simple for them. Also, when you start to sponsor someone, do you say something on the order of, requiring closure or asking for closure, like if they're just going to fade away, do you say, well, you know, call me, as a way of getting them to commit and not just fade away into the sunset? So in other words, if they're going to quit you,
oh, I see, okay.
Do you ask to, you know, at least have the courtesy to tell me, or do you call them, or you just say, that's it, folks?
Okay. She's kind of got a beginning and an ending here,
yeah,
in her little notebook. Scary when someone stands up with a big spiral notebook. The greatest story ever told, right, Joy? Okay, sponsoring somebody who's, you know, bright and too smart for the book, or looks at the book and goes, gee, it's poorly written. That's one point. And I sponsor a lot of bright women, and you know, it's like, don't tell me, show me. You know, don't tell me, show me. You know, show me what you're doing. Don't tell me what you're doing. That's a big thing I'm about, is living this. You know, living it from the book. You know, usually it's that arrogance that needs to be shaved off somewhere along the line, and yeah, one lady that I sponsor had all of a sudden a ton of babies, and just all of a sudden they were like, she had like 9 girls right in a row, and oh, she was doing things that I just thought was not good, like, you know, bailing people out, carrying the drunk a bit, and all of them left. You know, some of them stayed sober, but they left her, you know, because she was a mother hen. And very bright, though, extremely bright. She's, you know, has an 8-cylinder head. And so we've kind of shifted the gear back a little bit. But it was very humbling for her to go through that experience of, you know, I can think my way into helping these people, you know. And so she's back now with more commitments. She just got elected secretary of our Friday night women's stag, because it was another thing, too. She was too good for those women at the meeting. They were talking about, you know, stuff we talk about, guys, and, you know, but just stuff that wasn't up to her high-powered level with the high-powered job she's got. And I have another one who is very, very bright, never went to school, and has come from a place of, like, really very sick, 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 sick family. And she became a millionaire, like, overnight in this thing that happened for her. And she is extremely, to do what she did and to do it in the world that she did in, she's extremely bright. And she is just one of the most humble, beautiful people that you'd ever know, because her gratitude for Alcoholics Anonymous. So I think people that are coming from their head too much haven't felt it in their heart yet. You know, that's the longest mile in the world, is to get it from here to here. And when you really start loving that person sitting in the room that you don't even know, but you know they're new, and you see it in their face, and, you know, the head shuts off. And so my job is just to help them get to the heart, just to help them get to the heart, you know, and then they discover the book, or they discover how things are, you know, wow, you know. I've seen that happen. And it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing to watch people's hearts open up that had been hard for years, and that you can see it on their face. You know, you can see it on the face. And one day, you stand next to them, and they just feel different. That's the miracle I like to stick around for all the time, that I'm never disappointed in seeing. And your second part was about quitting people or sponsorship, moving on. It's happened a bunch of different ways. You know, I've had one stand outside one of my meetings and attack me physically. That was fun. I went out of town for the weekend, and she married the newcomer heroin addict that had been ripping her off. She eloped that weekend. So that was like, have fun, girl. You know, I'm not going there with you with this one. And we talked about that. And I'm out of town for the weekend. I come home. She's married. He's moved in. Okay, that's right. And so she, you know, when I said, I'm just not going to do this with you, you know, good luck. And she waited outside the meeting to attack me. And actually, I just gave her a cake a couple weeks ago at another meeting, because she worked through her stuff. And, you know, nobody ever says I was right, you know, because that's not what it's about. But she had to have the experience of her sickness come all the way through. And I've also had people that just have stopped calling. And I've had people that, you know, want to make a big deal about it and passive-aggressively send me the long email. And what I do in that case, because it's just a personal thing, I'll pick up the phone and say, you know, building a little character is calling me, you know, voice to voice. That would build a little character in your life because it's, you know, you get to take you with you out in the world wherever you're going. And, you know, and I wish you well. Much of the time, I don't buy into that stuff. And then we don't have a fight about it because it's just the way it is. But, yes, I picked up the phone. I'm not so... I have feelings. I put myself in people's lives. I care, you know. I can't just go, oh, F them, you know. That's not me. I mean, to some people, maybe it is. But closure is kind of a funny word. I think it's just the next thing to do. And sometimes I've done that, and they've come back, and they said, oh, I missed you. You were right, you know. And I just, like, smile on the other end of the phone. But I don't say, God, that's good to hear. You know, I mean, I might say that to myself. But I've sponsored people who have come back once. When they come back two times, it seems like it doesn't work. I've had that experience of, okay, we went there and you had to do what you had to do, and now you come back and you're ready to get serious about the stuff that I do, great. And then if you go away again and you come back the third time, I've tried that, and it's like, okay, we've already done this. You know, I'll be here for you and help you find someone. So that's another thing I wanted to make sure I talked about a little bit today, is I've had that experience of the third time coming back to me, and it doesn't work. Never has. I don't know what it is, but it just never has. So it's like, there you go. Thanks, Joy. Okay. Yes. Fourth step stuff. I remember this girl came over. I finally got her to write her fourth step. She came in my house, ready to read it. It was written on a postcard. I mean, I've had the volumes, you know, but that's how in touch she was with herself. It was like, wow. So I made her go back and do it again, and she left. She didn't come back. She didn't come back to me. She went to somebody else. And she's back in the program a couple of years now and doing well, but she was not done. She was not. It was still all about Maria. And there's a lot of Marias out there, so I can say that name. And the thing about just be willing. Just be willing to think this was a very sick situation. I've been raped. I was thrown out of a car. I was beaten up. I was left for dead outside of Palm Springs, bleeding out of my face. I was, you know... It's like I've had that experience, and I thought I saw those guys, or one of them, in a meeting one night, and you guys had Don Newcomb up here recently, and all I had to do was slide up to Don Newcomb and said, I think I see her. You know, I was a couple years sober, and he said, well, where is it? Let me go check it out for you. Don't worry about a thing, you know? And you guys have heard Don's story, so I didn't worry about a thing, and it didn't turn out to be that person, but... It was a process of getting through that myself. I'm so glad I was married to the man I was married to, because he was very loving and kind and safe, and I got to heal up in a lot of areas with that guy who, you know, left me, left her. Is God knows what he's doing in his life now, deadbeat dad that he is, and all of that. So, but he was there at the right time to help me. So I kind of try to relate my experience a little bit, and there's more, about how it healed with me and how I was willing to let that go, how I was willing to put it down on a card. It's like, just be willing. Just write it down. We don't have to do anything about it right now. Just write down, you know, Uncle Bob or whatever. I've seen amazing things happen. And I sponsor this nun, Sister Sheila, she openly talks about the abuse she had growing up in Ireland, openly. And she talks about how the 12 steps helped her with that. So when I have people that have need more with that, I send them to her first. I don't just send them right off to therapy. I send them to Sister Sheila, who openly talks about healing through that process. And she has a way of working with the people through it that help them. So that's when I need a little extra help, because that's not, you know, some of that other stuff is not in my experience. And so that's also very much about trust, excruciatingly about trust when you first put that kind of stuff down on paper and share it with somebody else. I had an amazing fifth step happen last year with a woman who was 20-some years sober. Amazing. Oh, my God, the strides she's made by just putting it down on paper and just being willing. Unbelievable how her life has changed. It's such a joy to sit back and watch that. She was dying at 20 when we found each other. Dying. And it's just so great. It's so great. So, you know, I hope that helped a little. And this, who was it? The guy with, right here, you with the, are you going to defer? Okay. No, somebody had a question. Oh, yeah, with the dog. Yeah.
I'm Curtis.
Curtis, thank you, Curtis.
I'm Paul with the dog. Yeah. Sharon, when you start working with a newcomer, do you, to get the work started to show that they're committed, do you have them read the first 100 pages? Do you have them read a chunk? Then you dive in to the
Curtis wants to know.
Steps, or, like, how do you show them?
Starting with a newcomer and the book and the first three steps, or how do we start? Yes, we read 3 pages a night. And that's what I was told to do also, which was, it was my soma put me to sleep reading. I never got through 3 pages in the beginning, and I had never slept for years. I passed out, so it was I went to bed with the big book every night, practically with my head sleeping on it. And so, yeah, I have them do that also. And, you know, and I kind of check up on them, but what'd you read, what'd you think? And, you know, the body, mind, and spirit way, that I kind of work steps 1 and 2, and then 3 is very formal. I do a formal. Formal was done with me, and Janet was my first third step, and Janet is the one that was so excited that I had raised my hand for 30 days, so I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. I wrote down a few things, what my life is unmanageable. One of them was, this is how I was in touch with myself and my alcoholism. But she accepted. I didn't have matching luggage when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And you know my story, how much, you know, how sad and how shut down I was when I came to you. But she accepted these little things of how my life was unmanageable. And, you know, and then we got up to page 63, and she said, you know, the one night I was hanging onto the seat, like with both hands, and because she said, don't run, you're a runner. I know you're a runner, don't run. And I am a runner. She said, hang on with both hands, just grip that seat, don't run. Okay, I'm gonna grip. And then she walked up to me a couple meetings later and said, you're not gripping the seat anymore, see? Power greater than yourself, that's me, you know? Restored you to sanity, right? So she kind of helped me see, like, 1 and 2, because I was really... Nobody was home yet. Really, nobody was home yet. And then the first third step was in her house on a Saturday afternoon after the yard with the curtains open, her kids home, and we're on our knees, and I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I don't want God to see me, first of all. I don't want to say the word because the lightning bolt, there she is. I'm waiting for her, you know. I didn't have a loving God. But she was so excited that I was ready to make this decision. And so I thought, okay, I'll do it for her. You know, and so we get down on our knees, and I'm still wired up, reading this thing out of the book, and she's so excited, and she's so happy, and she jumps up and hugs me. And Janet, Tom knows Janet, she was short. She had her face on my bosom, and she wouldn't quit hugging me, and I'm thinking, her kids are going to walk in. You know, my arms at my side like this, and it's like, she's all jazzed. And I've done lots of third steps with people I sponsor, and they're exciting, very exciting, because you know stuff's going to start happening, you know. And so I'm like here, and all of a sudden, I feel this warmth, like, you know, like all over me. And I thought, I love my sponsor. I must be gay. That was my first third step. And we talked about making major decisions in our first year. So I took the action. I didn't really know what was going on, really. I mean, she just kind of pulled me through. And I'm so glad I had someone that was willing to just pull me through. You know, I was really out of it for a long time. That I met and married somebody and that even worked for, you know, long enough to be married and have a child is like, oh, my God, amazing to me, because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was showing up at AA. I had commitments. I wasn't drinking in between. I was trying to go out in the world. I was just, you know, I was here for a little while, you know, and then after a while I started to feel like I was home here, you know, and you're my family of understanding, and that started to happen here. Oh. the spaceship people found you. So I hope that helped, Curtis. And I think we have time for one more.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, Tom or Evie. Okay, flip a coin.
Evie.
All right. That was a quick coin, Tom. Evie, stand up. You've been given the floor.
My name is Evie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Evie.
Let me talk about your relationship with your sponsor today. I know you see him every Wednesday night, but with such a long history, what are your conversations like with him? Is it, hi, checking in, see you Wednesday, goodbye, or just a little more about that, please?
My relationship with my sponsor today, who is Clancy for 20-some years now, check-in, I have a normal check-in time, and I knew I arrived when he put other people on hold for me, that he enjoyed talking with me. If I have something that is, I feel important, I can pick up the phone anytime. I have his cell number, which I rarely use, but I have it in case I need it. And then, you know, my regular call time. And then if I see him, I see him on Wednesday. And sometimes we've been, like, traveling to the same conference, which has been joyful because I get to watch him out there. You know, I get to see him out there working the program. And it's usually, like, he'll be on the plane when I get on, you know, and he won't see me. And so I'll sit back and I'll tell the stewardess, I say, that guy's on South Beach. He doesn't get any peanuts. That guy up there and that, you know, so. So we have a good relationship. I can kid around, you know, and so the stewardess will go up. This lady back at 9C said, you're on South Beach, you don't get any peanuts today, you know, and he'll look around and I'll wave at him, you know. So we have fun, but you know, I mean, we do the New Year's together. He's part of my family, you know. He's you know, and my dad's gone now, so I mean, he's not my dad, but he's like, you know, he's the patriarch of my life in much a sense. And when Casey and I recently got engaged, I got the wedding ring, so you know, but not married yet, but we, after 18 years, we got engaged, and it was at my 30-year party, so he wanted, you know, we're sitting up there with a lot of people there, my mother's there, and so this had happened the day before, and so he said, he wanted to tell a piece, so he said, well, maybe you should tell. He said, no, I'm the sponsor, I'm going to tell, so he was very proud to tell everybody that I was engaged, and he was, you know, looked at Casey and said, about time, you know, and, you know, it's like it's me, not really him, if you want to know the truth. But, so we have, it's the family. I'm in his family. We have traditions that he expects me to uphold. He expects the people that are active, walking right behind him, to show up for, because he's still showing up, I'm showing up, and the people behind me. He doesn't want to just, he wants to have the people that are sober a long time around him too. It makes him feel good to see me at the New Year's evening. It makes him feel good to see me at the Thanksgiving meeting. It makes him feel good to see me at the anti-Christmas talk. It makes him feel good that I'm still doing those things. And I respect and admire and love my sponsor. And of course I want to, you know, I want him to be happy. You know, he deserves some happiness. He's a tortured soul sometimes. You know, he had to do all of this to stay sober, and he's continuing still to do it. And he gets tired, and I've watched him on these trips. I've watched how tired he gets. I've sat in the airport when he writes those 50 postcards to people. And, you know, when I went through my divorce, I got on that postcard list. I have a stack of postcards this big from my sponsor encouraging me with those postcards. And he does at least 50 every time he goes on the road. And he sat there before the plane has taken off and finished those postcards. He's not sitting there reading a magazine thinking about himself. He's finishing those postcards. I mean, you know, that there's stuff about my sponsor that people don't know that just warmed my heart of how, you know, people are helped with groceries when they need groceries. And I admired that so much, you know. And, you know, and I miss my dad. And sometimes when I see him, I feel